You know what I immediately think of when I hear this song? You should know
Gunnar Henderson.
I was going to say, if one of you two couldn't get that, appreciate PJ chiming in. It's Gunnar Henderson. It's so obvious. It's the best walk-up, maybe the best walk-up song in the bigs.
It's a good one.
You know what used to be the best walk-up song?
What?
Your Love.
Yeah. Charlie Blackman.
Exactly.
Charlie Blackman's was great. I was giving Daylon Lyle a little bit of grief because he changed his. I'm not sure if it's back to what it was before, but it was Fantasy by Mariah Carey. I think that's a great one. Too many people have White Horse by Chris Stapleton, but I always thought that was a really good one. Brad Lord would walk out to that. And then shout out, he changed it this season. I don't know why. I loved it. Jake Irvin had Goodies for the longest time. Petey Pablo and Ciara. That one's fantastic too. So I could talk about walk-up songs all day. I watch too much baseball.
What would yours be if you were an MLB player?
Well, we started the show with it. Worth It by Fifth Harmony.
I like that.
Yeah. I love discussions about walk-up songs. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Toby Altizer with you for another hour, taking you up until 11 o'clock here. NBA schedule was released today. So I want to go through the Wizards schedule and look at some of the notable games. There's plenty of them that I want to go through here. But I'm really excited about this Wizards season. I don't know the last time I was this excited about a Wizards season. I mean, when you think about what this season is going to be with A.J. DeBonta and Alex Saar, Keyshawn George. If you know anything about me, I'm a massive Keyshawn George guy. I'm excited to see that group all gelling together. Trey Johnson. On top of the fact that you add in Trey Young, Anthony Davis, I'm excited to see this group play. They've got a really good roster. I mean, when you look at what they're going to trot out there on opening night, Trey Young at point guard, Keyshawn at the two, AJ at the three, Davis at the four, Saar at the five. Hopefully Saar is ready for the start of the season with the foot injury, but assuming he's healthy, that's a really good starting five. Trey Johnson coming off the bench as a sixth man. Bob Carrington's in the mix. Bilal's a defensive stalwart at the wing position. Will Riley's going to be a big impact player this season. Chris Middleton give you some depth there. Justin Champagne is kind of a garbage man that can help you out in a lot of facets. DeAndre Ayton is your backup big. That's a fun team. And that's a pretty good team with probably, I would say, 10 guys or more that you feel pretty good can get meaningful minutes in meaningful basketball games. So I'm hoping they can play some competitive basketball this season and take a big step forward this year. They're going to have 6 national TV games. And I think people around the NBA are going to be tuned in to see this team because of AJ, but I think they're going to be in for a pleasant surprise with how this team plays and some of the young guys that maybe they don't know as much about. Like, I think fans around the NBA are going to be so impressed by, you know, a guy like an Alex Saar and the way that he can move and play defense. I think he's super impressive. I think fans haven't been able to watch a lot of him, or frankly, haven't wanted to watch a lot of Wizards basketball. And I don't know that, you know, if you're a national TV watcher of the NBA, I don't know why you would want to watch a lot of the Wizards over the recent years. But I think now, with AJ being the draw, I think a lot of these guys are going to get a little bit of shine. And so I'm excited to see the thought process of fans around the NBA getting to watch these guys now, how some of their stardom gets to grow. Because I think they've really got good players. Like, I think a Will Riley is going to be a darling among national pundits. I think Keyshawn George, Trey Johnson, when he's knocking it down, is going to be, you know, talked about as one of the elite shooters in the NBA. That's going to be a blast to watch. But let's take a look at their schedule. It was released today. Go through some of the notable dates. Maybe you can mark some of these down and get ready for the Wizards season. We'll start with the season opener. They're going to open the season at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. That'll be on October 21st on a Wednesday. And that's going to be fun. Getting to open the season at home. They open with 2 straight home games before going on the road to take on the Bulls, which I want to talk more about in a second, but you're going to have a Wednesday and a Friday home game to open up the season. I think Cap 1 is going to be the best atmosphere for Wiz games that we've seen in since John Wall was here. Maybe the Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook time. I wasn't in D.C. at that time. But certainly, in recent memory, this is going to be the best atmosphere that Cap 1 is going to have for a Wizards game in quite some time. And when you think about it, Cap 1 is going to be the spot to be this year. Wizards basketball is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And Capitals hockey, is this the final ride for Ovi? Certainly seems like it could be. If that's the case, you're not going to want to miss a lot of Caps hockey this season. So Cap 1 is going to be the spot to be. They open the season at home against Milwaukee. They've got another home game before they finally go on the road for the first back-to-back they'll have of the season. But opening up with Milwaukee and Toronto at home, then they go on the road that Saturday, October 24th. And this should be a fun one. Taking on the Bulls in Chicago, Caleb Wilson looked awesome in Summer League. And he's going to be a blast to watch this season, talking about Caleb Wilson. Because it wouldn't even shock me, even though I was an AJ guy. I wanted AJ over everybody. I don't know that it would be all that shocking if the best player out of the entire class is Caleb Wilson. That guy can play. He can score at all three levels. He's not an elite shooter, but he can shoot from outside. And his athleticism is incredible. So I'm excited to see Caleb Wilson, what he turns into. Speaking of really good players in this year's draft, skipping ahead about a month, November 16th on a Monday night, they'll be home against the Memphis Grizzlies. That's Cam Boozer coming to town, number 3 overall pick. And it's funny, just going back and looking at this year's draft, the diametric differences between the way that we talked about this year's NFL draft versus this year's NBA draft is hilarious. NFL draft, you're like, all right, well, if you're not picking inside the top whatever, you're probably not going to get that good of a player. And even guys like Carnell Tate, they're like, I don't know that he's that great, blah, blah, blah. Versus you look at this year's NBA draft, you can go so far down the board, and you're like, oh, that guy can play, that guy can play. Keaton Wagler is the 5th pick. Michael Brown was the 6th pick. Acuff, incredible, 7th pick. I mean, you just go down the board. Yaxel Lendeborg was the 11th pick. Nate Ament would be a top 5 pick probably in some years. He's the 13th pick. Like, this is going to be a fun draft class to continue following for years to come. So, Caleb Wilson, first matchup, first week of the season. Then Cam Boozer, about a month into the year. They'll take on Cam Boozer at home against Memphis on November 16th. First national TV game is going to be against the Boston Celtics at home. That'll be November 24th, getting ready for Thanksgiving right in that time frame. They'll welcome in the Boston Celtics. That's going to be on NBC. That'll be the first time. I think there's one NBC Sports Network broadcast before that. But that'll be the first time that the full national audience is going to have their eyes on the Washington Wizards. They'll take on the Celtics. That'll be a fun one to see how AJ gets up for bright lights with the Celtics coming to town, NBC in the building. How does he play? I think he's going to embrace all the stuff that comes at him, but I'm excited to see what he's able to do when the bright lights are there for a national TV broadcast. They'll face the Celtics again on national TV on ESPN about a month later, this time in the Garden. The New York Knicks come to town. Their first time coming to town will be right before Christmas, a week before Christmas, on December the 18th. So excited to see how the Wizards do against them as well. Want to take a look at some of the other big-time matchups for the Wiz as their schedule was released today. If you'd like to chime in on the Wizards, 800-636-1067 is the phone number. We'll get you when LeBron's coming to town for the first time as a member of the Sixers. Couple of matchups with Darren Peterson and not too distant succession of one another, about a week apart. One of them going to be on Prime Video. So plenty of good stuff for the Wizards on their schedule. Excited to watch the Wiz this year. If you'd like to chime in again, 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer with you here on Overtime on The Fan. Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 11. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. We're talking about the NBA, the Wizards schedule released today, going through some of the notable matchups. We'll get into some of what's going on around the National Football League tonight. Several preseason games in action, a couple of standout performances from some rookies. So we'll talk about that to wrap up the show, starting at about 10:30. But taking a look at some of the big-time matchups for this team. So I'm excited to see Wemby in town. If you've never been to see Wemby play in person, I would say that Shohei Ohtani, when he pitches and hits, is probably the number one must-see guy in Major League Baseball and in professional sports, just in terms of what he can do, where he's throwing 100 with a nasty split, nasty sweeper, and then going out there and hitting tanks 450 feet. I've had the privilege to see him play multiple times. I remember seeing him pitch and hit up in Baltimore when he was still part of the Angels, and he finished a double shy of the cycle while pitching, and it wasn't even a good pitching performance. But to be able to see him be able to do what he can do both ways is absolutely incredible. I would say he's number one for me in must-see athletes. I think he's going to go down as the greatest baseball player of all time. So he's number one for me. Once I get behind him, though, Wemby might be number two. And it's not even saying that Wemby's necessarily the best basketball player in the NBA. It's that you can't believe how tall Wemby is and how lanky Wemby is until you see him in person. He almost doesn't look real. And then him being able to shoot and do the things that he can do with the basketball in his hands, it's unbelievable. I don't know how anyone scores inside the paint when he's in the game. Matter of fact, not many people do. That's why he changes entire team's offensive strategies when he's playing. When he's on the floor, you cannot go inside the paint and he'll block everything. But I saw him play against the Wizards a couple years ago, and he came down, knocked down back-to-back threes, and then the third possession in a row comes down and hits a fadeaway jumper. I don't know how the heck you defend that when he's that tall. So if I could encourage you, go check out the Spurs when they're in town. Wemby, absolutely incredible. So they'll be on national TV once again, talking about the Wizards. They'll be on national TV on NBC for the second time when they take on the Sixers and LeBron January the 12th. So that'll be fun. Their next national TV game will be against Darren Peterson and the Jazz. That'll be away on February 27th. Then a week later, Darren Peterson and the Jazz come to Capital One Arena. And I'm excited to see this rivalry grow because I do think that it's going to be a rivalry. And we'll see if it turns into a rivalry with teams and, you know, how good Darren Peterson and AJ turn into themselves individually, but also turning their teams into really good teams. But I do think this can be a rivalry where you can create something where we're constantly talking about these two in the same vein, and then it just naturally becomes a little bit of an inherent rivalry because the two are going toe-to-toe. They've been rivals throughout their time going back to high school, just in terms of knowing that they were each top dog in the class or fighting to be top dog in the class. And Darren Peterson's basically had AJ's lunch for the most part. But now you get a chance to do it in the pros where everybody's actually going to remember. They're not going to remember the one time they met at BYU in Kansas or what happened on the AAU circuit. They're going to remember what happens in the NBA. So I'm excited to see that rivalry start to grow. For those of you that want to see LeBron in D.C., he's going to be here March 18th and April 2nd. I don't know why they had to give it so late in the year. Hopefully he's still playing at that point. They're not load managing going into the playoffs at that point. But March 18th, April 2nd, that's your dates for LeBron being in town. The Warriors are in town March 27th, and the final game of the season is going to be April the 11th against the Pistons. I'm curious what the Wizards' record is going to be this season. Because you don't want to set the standard too high where they're going to be a disappointment. But at the same point, I don't think that you can say that they're just going to be awful and be totally fine with that. Like this team, I went through the starting five. I went through some of what this team is going to have coming off the bench. They're deep. They've got really good players. You're led by two guys that have played playoff basketball deep into the postseason. Trae Young has never won an NBA Finals, but He was one step away getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, and Anthony Davis has won an NBA Finals. So it's not as if you're lacking some experience there. Yeah, the young guys don't have that experience of being able to play at that high of a level, but you have a couple of guys that can lead them there and understand what they're trying to do. So I'm interested to see exactly what they're going to be able to accomplish this season, because I want this team to be able to take a big step forward this year. And maybe you don't go, you know, and make the playoffs, but I don't see a reason why you shouldn't be fighting for a play-in spot or something of that nature. Like, I don't see why the Wizards wouldn't be able to do that sort of a thing. So I'm excited to see what they do. I'm just looking at the Wizards' win total right now. Looks like, according to FanDuel, their win total set at 32.5. I'd be hammering the over on that. I think I'd be willing to say that they're going to get, I don't know, could they approach 500? I would think that they could. I think here's the thing that I'm curious to see, and this will probably determine what they're going to be able to do in terms of wins and losses. I don't think you can just flip a switch and start playing good defense in the NBA. And they have not played good defense. I don't know the last time a Wizards team felt good defensively. It's been a long time. And certainly, any of the current players that are here, they haven't been on good defensive teams in their tenure here in DC. I don't think this is something where you go, well, we're trying now, play good defense. I think there are some effort things that you can turn the faders up on a little bit. But I think there are some things that you have to learn how to play really good team defense. You have to learn how to play good winning basketball, too, to win games. I don't think that's also something that's just like, all right, we're trying to win now. Similar to you would do in like a 2K or something where it's like, okay, we're trying to win now. We can actually go do it now. I don't think it's as simple as flipping a switch and you're right there. So I'm curious to see how this team is able to get better as the season goes on the defensive end. Because when you look at some of the guys on this team, they've got guys that should project well defensively. Obviously, Alex Sarr is a elite defender. Anthony Davis is one of the best interior defenders in the history of the NBA. So that's a great front court duo. One of the best, if not the best, in the NBA and what they're going to be able to do combined. Anthony Davis, Alex Sarr as rim protectors. AJ did not look good in defense at BYU. I think he's got it in him. I don't know that you see it as a rookie. I think Keyshawn is a good defender. I think Bilal Coulibaly is an elite defender on the wing. I think Ayton is a fine defender as a big. They've got some liabilities defensively. I think AJ as a rookie probably fits into that. Trey Young probably fits into that. Trey Johnson probably fits into that. But they've got some really good defensive stalwart type players. So hopefully those guys working in tandem with some of the guys that maybe aren't as good defensively, and you can make this a good defensive team. Like, to me, Trey Young's job should be a little bit easier. AJ DeBonce's job should be a little bit easier, knowing that I can press up into a guy a little bit harder, knowing that Anthony Davis and Alex Sarr are behind me for rim protection. So I can't just allow a free three-pointer. If a guy blows by me, I have protection at the rim that's going to help me out and hopefully alter the shot. Not to say you want guys just blowing by DeBonce, Trey Young, Trey Johnson all the time, but I do think that helps their defense a little bit, saying like, hey, you cannot let them get a three off, get up in their grill, and force them to try to get into the paint if necessary. Like, don't lag off and allow them to shoot threes all day. I don't know. I'm curious to see how Brian Keefe is able to develop these guys to take that next step. Because maybe you don't see that right away, but as the season goes on, do they start playing some of that winning basketball? And I also think that is a thing, too. Like, we saw this in the NBA Finals with the Spurs and the Knicks. I think it was pretty obvious who the better team was in terms of talent. It was San Antonio. But San Antonio wasn't as seasoned in playing winning basketball. And in turn, collapsed every single game, it felt like. I don't think it's that extreme when it comes to a regular season in the NBA when you've got a young basketball team, but you certainly could see how a young team that doesn't have that edge of having the experience of playing winning basketball in the NBA, how playing against another team that has that can put you behind the eight ball. Wizards, behind Trae Young and Anthony Davis, don't really have that of playing winning basketball. They have guys that can play at a high level. They don't necessarily have guys that have played winning basketball at the NBA level. Can Anthony Davis, can Trae Young impart some of that wisdom so that when it gets to winning time, when it gets late in ball games, you're not having some of those brain farts that we saw the San Antonio Spurs run into in the NBA Finals. And again, they're not playing on, I don't think the Wizards are going to be playing on that stage necessarily this season. But can you grow so that when you take that jump next season, hopefully, and maybe you get into the playoffs, maybe you get into a big-time series, you don't have those sorts of mistakes because you've learned during this growing process as you start your ascension into hopefully a championship team here in the not-too-distant future. All right, let's talk about the NFL. A couple preseason games already concluded on the day. Currently got Tennessee and San Francisco on the TV here in the studio. Let's take a look around the league and some of the storylines from today's NFL games and some of the storylines going on across the NFL. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan. About a half hour left here on Overtime. Toby Altizer with you. Let's take a look around the NFL. Several games in action tonight. Six preseason games in total. Some rookies showing out in their first action on an NFL field. So let's go through some of the different performances across the NFL. Currently, the Cardinals, they played in the Hall of Fame games. They've already played a game, but they didn't have their star, Jeremiah Love, on the field. He's playing tonight. They currently lead the Raiders 27-14. But how about Jeremiah Love tonight? 11 carries, 58 yards, had a couple of catches out of the backfield as well, three receptions for 14 yards, a couple of runs, looked impressive, along a 16 on the night. He's going to be a blast to watch this season. I think it's interesting in this game, you had Ashton Jeanty run the ball a couple of times, three carries for 16 yards last year's first running back taken, had a spectacular career at Boise State. I think people are sleeping a little bit on how good Ashton Jeanty was at Boise State. I remember during the draft process, I had a take that I liked Jeanty as a prospect, probably more than Jeremiah Love. And people, I think, mostly disagree with that take. I think most people are on the Jeremiah Love train. I can certainly understand why. I would say that Jeremiah Love is probably more of a natural pass catcher, maybe a little bit more explosive, but Jeanty is more of a natural runner. I'm hoping the Raiders can get him some help out of the backfield or help in the offensive line because I think he's an incredibly talented back, but this goes back to these are two teams that drafted running backs inside the top 10 that I don't know that they were ready for the running back. Ashton Jeanty went to the Raiders and they had no one to block for him. The Cardinals, I don't know what the heck their plan in the offseason was. They signed Tyler Allgeier. They still have James Conner. Then they draft Jeremiah Love. Are they going to run three running back sets? They run in the wing T down there in Arizona. I don't know what the heck their plan is. Regardless, Jeremiah Love looked good in his first action in the NFL, 11 for 58. And how about the number one overall pick? Fernando Mendoza played football tonight, first time playing with the Raiders gear on, 10 of 16, 97 yards and a touchdown. Also rushed the ball two times for 6 yards. Fernando looked good. It took a sack, but a quarterback rating of over 100. Now, he's going to have a tough time beating out Kirko if he's out there operating the way that he did on the opening drive, 5 of 6, 50 yards and a touchdown. So Kirko's looked good. And camp, from all reports, it sounds like the plan still is that Kirko is going to be the starting quarterback there, and we'll see when Fernando actually takes over. But I think it's perfect for Fernando to sit behind Kirk Cousins because that's the type of quarterback that he's going to have to be in the NFL. I think he's a little more athletic than Kirk, obviously, and seeing some of the runs he was able to have at Indiana. but just an elite processor. And I think sometimes you almost knock quarterbacks that don't have the rocket arm or don't have the ability with their legs because it's kind of tough to quantify the guy that just always makes the right decision and throws the ball to where it's supposed to go and finds the open man. But isn't that the essence of the quarterback position, right? Isn't that the whole point? When you go back to your playing in the backyard as a kid, throw it to the guy who's open. Isn't that the whole point of the quarterback position? Sometimes it almost gets discounted from these guys that don't have the elite trait that's immediately noticeable when they're running around at the combine or something like that. Fernando Mendoza has some of that, throws the ball to the right guy at the right time. And sometimes that's not quantifiable necessarily, but he was so impressive on Indiana's run to a national championship, and I'm curious to see what he looks like in the NFL because it's not like he has an elite trait necessarily, but you can have an elite trait, and that trait be elite processor who plays at a high level, understands the game, gets you into the right plays, and throws the ball to where it should go. Tom Brady was that guy. I'm not comparing those two necessarily, but Tom Brady has the greatest career in the history of the NFL off of not having that great of foot speed, having a good arm. I'll give him that, and he was accurate. But his superpower was he was smarter than everybody else. I think Mendoza has a little bit of that to his game. Not Brady-esque, but I think he's in that camp. So I'm curious to see how he'll do in the NFL. Another quarterback that had a spectacular day today, another rookie quarterback, Drew Aller. How about this? So Pittsburgh has three quarterbacks play tonight. Will Howard was 7 of 9 for 86 yards. That's Wes's guy. Won a national championship with the Buckeyes. But Drew Aller is very intriguing because he was thought to be one of, if not the best quarterback in several classes, and then it just never worked out at Penn State. It just never got to that point. Rocket for an arm. Was injured most of last season, intern suffered, fell way down the draft board. But he was someone that a lot of people that follow the draft closely were thinking was going to be a first-round pick. And then as seasons would go on, well, sure enough, that's not going to be the case because he didn't play at that high of a level. But the traits are there. Well, the Steelers take him late. How about his debut? 10 of 13, 153 yards, and two touchdowns. No picks, no sacks. That's a 154.8 quarterback rating. That's pretty good. That's pretty good for Drew Aller. And you wonder where he fits in that quarterback room. I kind of thought that Will Howard might get a chance at some point. I think Drew Aller was probably the guy that you'd rather take a chance on than Will Howard. Not that Howard can't play, but Aller has a little more of a NFL-type physique and arm, and I would say just more talent overall. Howard probably has the higher floor in terms of, I mean, he's probably just a backup in the NFL long-term. But if you feel like you found a diamond in the rough here, and for whatever reason at Penn State, it just didn't work out with Aller, and this is a guy who was incredibly talented, but now you get him into your system and you're able to develop him, that could be a late-round gem there. But, you know, it's just a preseason game. You don't want to overreact. But pretty impressive debut for Drew Aller. 10 of 13, 153 yards and two touchdowns. One more performance
like
I want to point out.
Reacting just a tad.
Well, again.
Aller guy over here. I didn't realize it.
Well, I mean, Will Howard is not anything special in the NFL level.
I mean, that's not exactly what I've heard from practices.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's fine. I think he's a backup quarterback. I don't know that Aller necessarily is either. But if I had to choose, if I'm Pittsburgh, which one I could potentially see stepping into that role and giving a shot, I'd probably give Aller a shot to win that job more so than Will Howard, just because of the
potential. Will Howard looked great
potential.
Today, too.
Yeah. Again, both of them look fine. Green Bay didn't look the best. Lost 28-9. One more quarterback I want to point out. How about Anthony Richardson today? He threw a pick, which was awful. If you go back and watch the film on that,
was that
bad.
His fault?
I'd have to look a little bit closer, but it did not look good. Regardless, 11 of 14 for a 145, no touchdowns and a pick, but had a touchdown on the ground, 6 carries, 53 yards. I don't know, man. He's still a raw player, but we're starting to see quarterbacks that were once thought to be really good, that kind of fizzled out in their first destination, go elsewhere, potentially serve as a backup or get rehabbed, in, so to speak, in another organization, and then all of a sudden they take off and they could go somewhere else and become that guy. You think of Sam Darnold. You think of Malik Willis. Anthony Richardson might be that next one because the talent is obvious. It's just about actually getting out there and executing on the field that has always been the problem for him and staying healthy. I don't know. That'll be an interesting one to see, but Richardson with an impressive game tonight, 11 of 14, 145 through the air with a pick and 53 yards on six carries with a touchdown. Richardson looked good tonight. Drake May didn't play tonight for the Patriots. Jam Miller out of Bama had a solid show in 14 carries, 55 yards. So going to be interesting to see what happens for Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson. Obviously, Daniel Jones is their quarterback, but can they maybe move Richardson before the season starts? Kind of a little debut type of game for him of showing what he can do and maybe gets moved to another team. All right, we'll wrap things up next. Toby Altizer with you here on Overtime on The Fan. Final couple minutes here on Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 11. Want to wrap up with, we just had a retirement in the NBA come up just a couple of days ago, and he spent a short time here in D.C., but growing up, he was one of my favorite players to watch, and that's Russell Westbrook. He decided to hang him up. He's finished with his NBA career, and I thought it was really cool today that Kevin Durant had a long post talking about him and the impact that he had as a leader for the Thunder back in the day when those two were playing together. And you look back at that Thunder team, and it's crazy that they weren't able to win one, because Kevin Durant, you had Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka, and that was a really good team. They were fun to watch back in the day. But I thought it was cool for KD to come out and support his former teammate. He tweeted out earlier today about 3:30 saying, "I remember asking assistant coach Mo Cheeks what's harder to do, work out after practice or before. I only asked because by the time I would get to the gym, Russ was already done in the morning and I usually got mine in after practice. Mo said, coming in before practice is probably harder. Since then, it's been my routine. A lot of people looked at the emotions on the court and thought Russ was loud. Nah, to me, he was quiet, methodical. He led by example, and once the lights were bright, he let everything out, experienced pure freedom. It was inspiring as his teammate, and everywhere I went, I saw it inspire people from all walks of life. He didn't say much. He just showed up. For 18 years, the basketball life is sacred to us as professionals. What we put into that court means everything. Some of us wish we could go back and do things with a little more intent, and some we can just wipe our hands and be satisfied with the time spent." That's pretty cool, the way that he's honoring a former teammate. And Russell Westbrook was a blast to watch. When you think back to those Oklahoma City days, and he's throwing down windmill jams on the break, and the emotion that he played with, KD kind of mentioned it here, but it was infectious. He was always going to put everything out on the floor. And you go back to those OKC days, and there wasn't a more explosive point guard in the league and what he was able to do. Now, he could never really shoot the ball from outside, but what he turned himself into, where he was just a multi-dimensional basketball player, where he could do everything for you, scoring, assisting, rebounding. His final numbers in his career are averaging 20.9 points per game, 6.9 rebounds, and 8 assists. That's a guy that, when he was at his peak, was as good as anybody else in the league and contributing in so many different facets. You go back to his MVP season in Oklahoma City, 31.6 points per game, 10 assists, just under 11 boards. As good of a rebounding guard as you'll find. Here in D.C., he averaged a triple-double, 22 points, 11.7 assists, which was his career high in a season, and 11.5 rebounds, which is also a career high for him. So just thinking about Russell Westbrook and what he meant to so many different teams that he went to, but thinking back to his days in Oklahoma City, thinking back to the short time that he was here in D.C., he was a blast to watch. And it's crazy seeing that era of basketball start to really come to an end. And whether you're a LeBron guy or not, when LeBron decides to hang it up, if this is truly it, it's going to be weird watching NBA basketball without him. You think about the NFL now when you kind of have that old guard of quarterbacks really starting to retire. Tom, Peyton, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, the Mannings, right? Rodgers is kind of the last of that breed. It's going to be weird when you've got Rodgers done. Stafford's probably next up on that list. It's just a different time with the guys that are coming up. And, you know, luckily for both leagues, there was a short stretch there in the NFL where you didn't know who was going to take the mantle at the quarterback position of the guys that lead the league from Tom Brady, from Peyton and company. Now it's pretty obvious. They've got multiple, Pat Mahomes being at the front of that list. You've got Josh Allen, Lamar, Joe Burrow. Hopefully Jaden Daniels works himself into that conversation as well. Like, there are guys that have taken over. And luckily in the NBA, there are some. But I do wonder who that next transcendent guy is going to be and who that next face of the NBA is. Not necessarily saying that Russell Westbrook was ever that, obviously. But I don't know who that next guy is. Anthony Edwards has potential to be that kind of a guy. SGA has won multiple MVPs. Wemby could be that guy. The thing that I worry about as an American basketball fan that loves watching American basketball in the Olympics, I'm a little bit worried that when the Olympics are here in L.A., I don't know if the United States is going to win the gold medal. I certainly hope so. But you look at some of these teams around the world, you think about what it took to beat France in this past Olympics. I don't know that you're going to have Steph Curry again. You're probably not going to have LeBron again. Who's going to step up in that role? Is it Anthony Edwards? Is it Jason Tatum? Who is it that ends up stepping into that role? I'm hoping down the line it's AJ DeBonsa. Maybe it just ends up being this draft class. Maybe it just ends up being AJ, Darren Peterson, Cam Boozer, Caleb Wilson. That'd be a fun team to watch. But I'm curious who takes that next mantle. But it shows the growth of the game internationally. And I think, you know, guys like Russell Westbrook, you know, recently have really helped some of that grow. And it's going to be weird seeing no more Russell Westbrook pretty soon, no more LeBron James in a couple of years. You figure no more Kevin Durant, no more Steph Curry. That's going to be a weird time in the NBA when all those guys retire. I mean, it was weird when Kobe was first done. It's going to be weirder when some of these other guys that you've been able to appreciate and watch. That's why I think, that's why I liked highlighting when some of these guys come to town. Who knows? This might be the final time later on this year that LeBron comes to town. Might be the final time that Steph Curry comes to town. He's acknowledged, you know, he doesn't have that much left. So kind of crazy to think about, but that's what happens. You live and you move on. And hopefully, they get some guys that can fill in here the next couple of years as leaders of the NBA. That's going to do it for overtime. Appreciate y'all hanging out. Appreciate earlier today, Hunt Palmer joined us from the LSU Sports Radio Network, get his thoughts on the Jaden Daniels situation. Appreciate PJ, Wes, doing all the hard work behind the scenes. For them, I'm Toby Altizer saying thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your evening.